In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. With the great feast of the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross, September 14th, we hear this divine prophecy from our Lord in today's gospel passage. Quote, "Even the Son of Man must be lifted up." End of quote. Jesus the Christ made a reference to his own cross, but he also then made a promise. So I continue with his words, quote, "that those who believe in him may not perish, but may have life eternal." End of quote. The 20th century Russian intellectual and a dissident against the Soviet Union Empire, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, came to grasp the power of the cross in his own life. He was arrested because he fought for freedom, he fought for human dignity, he fought against atheism, and for that reason, the atheistic Russian government arrested him. And for all these types of people, they sent him off into Siberia to what were called the gulags, these prisons, prison camps. And after many years in this camp, this Russian gulag, Solzhenitsyn himself came to know what every prisoner came to know: despair. For years, he was forced to work the fields day after day and night after night, whether it was raining, snowing, subarctic weather, or in scorching heat. The labor was back-breaking, and it was meant to be back-breaking. It was meant to break the spirits of the men. And not only were they condemned to harsh, harsh labor, they were being slowly starved to death with little amounts of food. In such inhumane, meaningless, and barbaric circumstances, Solzhenitsyn himself, in his own heart, in his own soul, found resistance to be futile. He saw his destiny was to remain in a labor camp, and his destiny was to die in this labor camp. He came to realize everything he was living for and doing in the camp was basically meaningless and would have no impact on the world around him. And thus he was clutched in the hands of despair. So at this particular moment, on this particular day, at a particular hour, he gave up. He laid his shovel down on the ground and he plodded heavily over toward a crude, worn-down bench and he sat. Of course, you never were allowed to sit unless you were given permission by a prison guard. And of course, they didn't want you to sit. They want you to get so exhausted, so tired, you just fall and die as you're working. Solzhenitsyn didn't care anymore, as so many prisoners did before him. He went and sat without permission. And what would happen is a prisoner guard would come to the sitting prisoner, yell at them, berate them, and demand that they stand up. And then if they didn't, the prison guard would take that prisoner's shovel and then beat the prisoner to death. And here is Solzhenitsyn, sitting on this bench, slumped over, head hanging low. And all of a sudden, he felt a presence approach him. Standing over him was a figure, a man. And this man squatted in front of Solzhenitsyn. And he had a stick in his hand. And he took the stick, he placed it between the feet, the shoes of Solzhenitsyn, and he traced a cross in the ground. Slowly, Alexander Solzhenitsyn raised his head and found squatting before him an emaciated skeletal-looking figure. Without a word, this emaciated human being arose. He walked away, took a shovel, and continued to labor. Solzhenitsyn then stared at that cross for a couple of moments, and all of a sudden, his heart, his inner being was changed. In that singular moment, he realized that there was a power in this, in that camp, an evil camp, and that there was a power in the world filled with so much barbarism and cruelty and inhumanity that could break through all the bleak and grim and morbid circumstances of life, even the cruel life in the gulag, and in the face of a horrific empire called atheistic communism. With a new sense of hope at that moment, a new vigor, Solzhenitsyn took up his shovel and with purpose he returned to his quote-unquote meaningless work. And so while nothing on the outside, nothing in this camp changed, in that very moment, something changed in the heart of Solzhenitsyn, and he saw the world in a very, very different way. If you know about Solzhenitsyn, eventually he was released from the gulags, and he left. He left Soviet Russia, and he would go on to write books about atheistic communism and what was really happening in the Soviet Union. He also would go around the world and give speeches at some of the most prestigious institutions, including Harvard and Yale, about what would be described as the indescribable and what is called the unfathomable, evils that man can do to man, that governments can do to their people. And yet if you read his writings or listen to his speeches, and you can find his speech to Harvard online, if you listen to them, he always ended them with a proclamation of the power of God and the hope given by the sign of the cross. Today, the church is preparing you and me for the great feast of the exaltation of the life-giving and precious cross. A question for you. When you look at the cross, what do you see? When you look at the cross, Is there any movement in your heart? Jesus the Christ embraced freely the instrument of death out of selfless and sacrificial love. For as we hear John the Evangelist proclaim, write, quote, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that those who believe in him might not perish, but may have eternal life. And the God-man showed you and me what authentic, selfless love can do. It gives meaning to the meaningless. It will forgive the unforgivable. It will conquer every form of despondency and despair. It is more powerful than death. When you look at the cross, you see how authentic love gives authentic life. So while evil, therefore, in our world may always seem to have the first word, and maybe many words, and maybe even seems victorious, the church, by exalting before her faithful the life-giving and precious cross, is declaring something else. You and I are reminded of the truth that love has the final word. Evil is the first word, but it's never, ever, ever the final word. Where there is the cross, there's always the resurrection. Where there is authentic love, there is always authentic life. Christ is among us.